Science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, a place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And Happy New Year, everyone. This is the first ThinkWorks of 2026, and I've delved into my book that's just been released, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better. And I'm looking at one of the chapters that I haven't already done an episode of ThinkWorks on, and you'll start to see that there is kind of like a logical progression as we work through the chapters. I'm not going to read the chapter out verbatim. I'm going to go through the main points, give you a little exercise to do, which I'll also do in the Techabyte Tuesday bit that I'm doing in the forum, and then we'll see where we are at the end of all that. So the chapter I'm going to look at is simply Have a Plan, and that is Know Where You Want to Go and How to Get There. So the introductory paragraphs are: having a vision for your business or community group, a great service or product to sell and deliver, and wonderful people to work with is all well and good if you don't actually know what direction to go in and what actions you need to take. Now, in preceding chapters in the book, of course, I've talked about that, all that, the vision and setting up and what you do and using your planners and everything else. We're now getting to the point where we're building a proper plan for our business life, whether it's running your own business, whether it's in your personal life and the activities that you need to do in your family life, or whether even if you're working for someone else, you still need to have a vision for what you want to do, and then you need to have a plan for how you're going to advance on that vision within the structures of the business that you are working under. So it follows and says, after all, if you decide to go on a sponsored charity walk around the world, you wouldn't just set off without first considering which direction to set off in, what paperwork you'll need, where you'll need to do more than walk. For example, you can't walk across the sea. If you can, then, you know, hallelujah. And so on. And at the very least, you would want to find out where all the minefields are. That's basically setting up the whole chapter. And there are some words of wisdom as well from Oliver Wendell Holmes, who said, the great thing in this world is not so much where we are, but in what direction are we moving. And plans are often derided because many of them are simply done as a tick box exercise. They don't matter, and because they don't matter, they don't motivate, and because they don't motivate, they don't actually achieve anything. However, the counterpoint to that is, a business without a plan is like a ship without a rudder. Sooner or later, you're going to hit the rocks. And this is also true in your personal life as well. If you just let life take you in its currents without a plan really for where you want to go, then you're going to end up in trouble at some point. Now, many businesses actually do have a real plan, but they make several common mistakes. Number one, the plans are too boardroom driven. That is, the language of them is highfalutin and pretentious. Too many acronyms and terminologies creep in. Too many graphs. Boardrooms like graphs as a rule. And trustees and shareholders do as well. But the staff don't. And if they can't get behind your plan, if they don't understand really the kind of direction you're setting and why, crucially, you are setting it, then you're not likely to achieve the plan. And the other problem is they're too process-oriented. The second real big problem is they're often too ambitious. Okay, how many of you decide to start from zero and have £1 million turnover within 1 or 2 years, or to grow your business by 200% and trim costs by 50%? It doesn't work like that. And the example I use is the guy that holds the record for the most marathons run in a month. And he didn't get up on day one and just decide he was going to run a marathon. He actually started out by running to his nearest lamppost and back on the first day. On day two, he ran to the second lamppost and back, and so on the third day. And within that, he built up the stamina he needed to do the record number of marathons in 30 days. I can't remember off the top of my head what it is. But it's a lot, and I doubt if anyone listening to this podcast can probably get anywhere close to that, myself included. The third problem is the plans are too short term. We have a truly Western capitalist disease at the moment, especially in the UK and the USA. And it's how much is in it for me today, or how much can we make this quarter? We deal in one-year plans. Now, the Chinese and Japanese deal in generational plans. And even before, when I first wrote the first draft of What Managers Don't Know many, 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 many years ago, I forecast that China, based on this kind of culture of drive and long-term ambitious planning, which is not yearly but generational, will become an economic superpower. And in the time that I've gone from that to actually writing this book, that's exactly what has happened. Now, the Japanese miracle was because, again, they did the very thing that we don't do in the West. They made generational plans. They had their yearly goals, true enough, but their plans were set in a real kind of timeline that they could move towards step by step by step. Now, oddly, a lot of the Japanese economic problems that befell them recently is because they started to adopt American and Western practices into their business practices. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that every American corporation and every British corporation or every European corporation follows this mold. But generally speaking, that's what happens. We have our year plans broken down by quarters, broken down by weeks, broken down by daily targets. And that's not necessarily the best way to look at things. Another problem is the goals remain goals because they are not expressed in smart ways. So too often I see goals that are expressed like this one. We will become the market leader in widgets by the end of the year. Or we will improve our widgets so they are better than anyone else. Now, I can hear people's eyebrows rolling because I said smart. And it is often derided. But the difference between knowing something and doing it are two completely different things. You need to look at the two goals that I've just mentioned. Questions that instantly spring to mind should be when, how, what, why. You must think differently and turn your goals into true, achievable objectives within a relative time frame that is possible to do. If we've said that, then what do you do to formulate a successful plan? Well, you won't be too surprised to find that you actually do the opposite of all the stuff that I've just mentioned. The key ones are, you should keep it real, moderate the language, express your objectives and reasons for wanting to achieve those objectives in plain English. And don't be afraid to use emotional words either. That's counterintuitive to a lot of the way that Western leaders have been taught how to present their plans. But if you haven't got emotion behind an objective, it's really hard if it's just a cold blue steel, this is what we will do this year. People, they might start on that basis because they are afraid of just how coldly stated that objective is, but it won't motivate them long time. Get it out of the boardroom. That's another big one. This applies even if you're a small company without a board structure, or even if you're just the head of a team, get it out into your staff and get them involved in the planning process. If you're a community group, get your community involved. Have a fun day, play with it. Get everyone to buy in and own the plan. And that's true even in a family. If you've got a plan for where you want to take your family over the next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, get them to buy into the plan. Get them to input, where do they see themselves being within that family in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? Yeah? And get them, the more input you get and the more buy-in you get from the people who have to follow the plan, the more likely you are to achieve it. You need to set quick wins. This is important even for your one-person band or setting goals for your personal life. You need to start off with small objectives that are easily achievable so you can pat yourself on the back, feel good, give yourself a reward, and it builds momentum. You start to gradually take on the bigger objectives that you want to achieve. And those little wins that you've just done are actually steps towards those bigger objectives anyway. So do that and make sure that you do positively acknowledge when an objective has been achieved, even if it's only to yourself. But if you're part of a team, if you lead a team, then you should make sure that your team are aware that you have seen that that objective has been reached and you are pleased. It's fantastic. Let's see what we can do next, guys. It's that kind of a thinking and a culture that we need to adapt. Don't confuse movement with achievement, however. This is the one that gets me, and it's the dreaded TBT, the tick box trap. So this is where people, for their objectives, put things in a tick box approach that they can just tick to say they've done it. But it might not actually be an objective that is really beneficial to anyone. It's just a tick box that you've done to say you've achieved a particular objective that, to be frank, anyone could have done. And it's not really grand enough to get you moving. It's just, I've seen it so many times. It's just, you know, you need to be careful how you set your objectives and how you measure them. And just simply doing a tick box approach is not going to be the way to do it. Another thing that you should do with your plan is don't suffocate it. It should be seen as an alive, living, breathing creature that will grow, evolve, and adapt over time. And as such, you should review its progress and where you need to make changes. A plan shouldn't be set in stone. A plan should be a vision for where you want to go from where you are. But as you get further towards where you want to go, you may well find circumstances have changed. The market has changed. There's a COVID pandemic. You need to be able to quickly adapt your plans and then make new mitigation strategies from that plan as quickly as possible. Now, this is important. Don't let the plan suffocate you. That feeds back into what I've just said about don't suffocate it. You must yourself be adaptable. An unexpected guest may appear. See Principle 13, the unexpected guest, which I've already done an episode on in this ThinkWork series. And it's one of the most important principles in the entire book because it just shows how even giant companies, whole industries even, can go bust literally overnight because they didn't plan for something that might knock off their marketplace. The vinyl record industry, as an example, when the CD arrived within 3 years, almost 90% of the American vinyl industry, which owned 80% of the world's vinyl industry, was gone. It just literally evaporated. They didn't move fast enough. They didn't become CD companies. It just happened overnight. And you need to be aware of that and make sure that you are in a position to not be straitjacketed by your plan. And finally, you need to make it sustainable. So you have your plan set up to deliver against this financial year. You've broken it into quarters with monthly sub-targets or milestones in project speak. And you're ahead of the game. But it's important that you have a plan that incorporates micro plans. That's true. But your plan must also think about the future. It must look at where you want to be in 5, 10 or 20 years' time. Now, I'm not saying you have to put in every step for the 5 years, 10 years and 20 years. No, because that's straitjacketing you. But you need to have a vision for where you want to be and you need to have that in your plan. So where do you want to be in 5 years' time? Where do you want to be in 10 years' time? Where do you want to be in 20 years' time? And I think it was Sony who had an original plan that looked at where the company would be in a century from when it was formed. They didn't know specifically how Sony would get there, but they had the general idea about future development and a definite idea of what the company was going to be. That is, they knew the destination, the general direction, but how they actually got there was decided stage by stage. And that's important. It's really important. Now, there are more aspects really to consider when making a plan, but those 7 considerations when applied will enable you to create a plan that is far more rewarding than 99% of your competitors or your rivals, or even just outsiders and external forces to your family or community life, it will increase your chances of success a thousandfold. We can always do more advanced planning later if you want to bring someone in to do a workshop and a planning session with you and your staff or your management team. I mean, I'm available, plug, plug, plug. But there are many other consultants out there, and many of them are local to your business, that you should consider, because the more local you can keep your consultants, I think the better it is in the longer terms. That's just my personal belief. But you, as I say, you can start off with your basic plan, get your team involved, get the foundation of it, get the layout of it, look at what you need to do this year, look at where you want to be in 5 years, where you want to be in 10, where you want to be in 20, and then you bring a consultant in to then fine-hone that plan with your senior management team and really take it out then to the staff and partners and suppliers and get their buy-in as well, so they know what you're trying to achieve. It's really important that you reach out and get as much input as you can, because there may be some changes coming in the supply chain that you don't know about, and because you haven't asked the suppliers, then you're going to get knocked sideways when that change happens. So it's better to reach out for input from different disciplines across your business entity. It's really important. External is just as important as internal. Now, every chapter of the book has got a coping with indigestion section, and this is where I pretend I'm you and I ask a question and then I clarify it by giving an answer. So, question, this is you asking the question: can having a plan with easy to achieve objectives and milestones really drive you to success? It can, of course, if you look at quick wins and easy milestones as course corrections in a journey, you'll always be put back on the right path. So I've given an illustration in the book about how you can actually see that visually. I'm not going to do it on here because, again, it's something you need to see to do. But you can actually see that just even a slight point degree change in the direction that you are walking, by the time you've got to the end of a long haul or a long assembly room, for example, you'll be in a completely different position from where you started. And that's how you need to have a look at your plan. Question: shouldn't we set objectives that stretch the organization so we can grow? Answer: there's absolutely nothing wrong with setting ambitious objectives and targets, none at all, but you must make them so they are achievable and sustainable. Don't be like the woodsman and the saw. So Stephen Covey uses this as a point in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and here's my version of it. It's a condensed version. A woodsman starts sawing down trees and he sets off at a cracking pace because he has a target of cutting down 25 per day for 5 days, because the business he works for has an order that has to be fulfilled by Friday. It's usually a two-man job taking 4 days, but the business also had an objective of reducing costs by 40% over the year, so they gave the one man an extra day and agreed to pay him a bonus, i.e. if he does the target within 5 days. Pretty soon he's cut down lots of trees, but as the week progresses, it's getting harder and harder. When he mentions this to a passerby, the passerby suggests that he stops, has a rest, and sharpens the saw. The woodcutter pauses for a moment and snaps back, "Can't do that, I'm too busy, I've got another 10 trees to cut down today." The issue with that approach is clear. If you're too narrowly focused on the output, eventually either he will become too tired or the saw will break for not being properly maintained, and the target will be missed. By only doing 20 trees on Wednesday, but taking the time to rest and sharpen the saw, he might do another 30 on Thursday, and 27 rather than 25 on Friday, and hit his target. So it's just that kind of thinking. Now, the other thing that I do in each of the chapters is I have a take a bite section. Now, I'm doing these in the forum, which is darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. There's a chat room for the podcast, the ThinkWorks podcast, and in there, each episode gets its own post for you guys to come and look at and comment on. Now, in the same forum, I've got another chat room for the book, You 2.0, and in that, I'm doing each of the Take a Bite sections as though I'm doing them as me, so you can see how each one builds. I'm doing them in order as well. on how they build and start to give you some real planning going forward. So the take-a-bite is this. If you have a plan, take an honest look at it and rate your goals against SMART. Are they specific in nature? What is the date you've set for completion? Are they achievable? Do you have enough resources to do them? Can they realistically be done? How will you measure what you've achieved? Should an objective be completed? This last one, the M in SMART, is the one that most people forget about, but it's the one that lets you know how well you're doing outside the wider objective, and it gives you the juice to move on to the next goal or phrase. If you haven't got a plan, start now. And this is what I'm saying to you. Just start by doing something you've been given a task to do, or a task that you want to do or know needs to be done. Write out, this is the objective, this is my analysis of the objective, and then do that SMART analysis. You'll be amazed about, you get it done and you'll think, wow, actually there were things I hadn't considered there. I might have bitten off too much to chew all at once, or I may need some help on this. Or indeed, the conversely, you might look at it and think, this is a simpler task than I was fearing. I'm just going to get on with it and get it finished. So it's always best to do that. And as I say, if you're still struggling with that take a bite section, I'm doing these week by week. So in a 2 weeks time, 2 or 3 weeks time, this take a bite will be in that chat room in ThinkWorks forum. And you'll see my answer to that and what I've done as a guidance for you then to follow and do something of your own on that basis. If you've already got all this locked down, you want to make some comments about other ways that you can plan or other ways that you can look at plans, come and join me in the ThinkWorks forum chat room that I set up, which is darreninform.com/ThinkWorks forum. And then you see there's a chat room specifically for the ThinkWorks podcast. You go in there and there'll be a link, a post from this show with my thoughts and asking you for yours. It's as simple as that. Right, I'm all done for this. I knew it was going to be a quick one. I just wanted to get it done and out there for the 5th of January. I've no idea what I'll be doing next week, but I'm going to be sitting down this week and doing my year plan based on what my overall objectives are for the next 5 years. And within that, I'll know the subject that I'm going to be doing in the next couple of weeks here on ThinkWorks. Until then, everyone, take care. Hope you've enjoyed that, and I'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at Darren Inform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.